This is part two of a two-part series on whole person healthcare. Last night we talked about theological roots of whole person healthcare, especially concentrating on the role of the church, the role and responsibility of the church to provide whole person healthcare. This evening I want to talk really much more informally about the practice of whole person healthcare. I hope this will lead to a vigorous dialogue between all of us, and I have a lot of questions for you all, too, about where the Lutheran Church is, as much as you can generalize, on health and healing issues and alternative health centers and so on and so forth. I'd like to say that there weren't enough runoffs last evening of the introduction to holistic health care, which basically defined it and then gave some general description that can also apply to basic humanistic medicine, and a bibliography that I prepared and an article written about holistic health care centers in both Granger Westberg's in Hinsdale, the Vellore Christian Medical Hospital in South India, and the Columbia Road Health Services in Washington, D.C., which we'll refer to more this evening. Additionally, there is an annotated bibliography for holistic health centers prepared by a staff member of Granger Westberg's organization. If you have high interest in any of these pieces of paper, please sign the yellow sign-up sheet that's on the table in the back of this room. And then Holden Village will probably send you a little set or whatever, whichever one you want. So that's the way we'll do it. Since last evening, I went to the library and I found another excellent resource. I don't know that the bookstore has this, but it's Whole Person Healthcare, and it includes a directory of Northwest practitioners. This is a very large book written totally from a secular perspective, but it's extremely exciting to me because of the emphasis on wellness, fitness, nutrition, stress, sexual health, approaching health professionals, alternative services. It's just got great stuff. And usually I'm skeptical when I see stuff like this, Guide to Holistic Practitioners in the Northwest. But this is an impressive book. Costs $8.95, or it's in the library when I'm finished. So I recommend it. Really liked the strong emphasis on diet, and it has a lot of quizzes that would show each of us exactly how we're doing on nutrition and exercise and so forth. Last night I also mentioned that there are some good things in the Holden Bookstore: Theological Roots of Holistic Healthcare by Granger Westberg, Norman Cousins' Anatomy of an Illness. In the library, Paul Tournier, Whole Person in a Broken World, especially the last chapter on the role of the church. And again, I think we should try to pull it into our thinking about whether it's possible to sing the Lord's song whether we're well or ill. So with that, I'll get started. Before I share the story of Holistic Health Centers Incorporated, I'd like to give a brief definition of whole person care for anyone that is coming in new this evening. Holistic or whole person health care is health care that attempts to treat the person as a unity of body, mind, and spirit. It assumes that health is a composite result of emotions and spiritual orientation as well as physical condition. This concept is as old as the Old Testament unity between body and spirit before the introduction of Greek dualism. In practical terms, whole person care treats each person's illness as multidimensional, including chiefly emotional and spiritual factors which may have contributed to getting sick. It recognizes the close connection between a person's sense of well-being or the lack of it and physical and emotional health. feelings of alienation from God and significant others, anger, guilt, and frustration eventually find expression in bodily and emotional health if they are not attended to. Whole person health care takes particular interest in the range of psychosomatic illnesses in which soul and body appear to be divided and working against the total health of the person. The chief pioneer in the Christian holistic health movement is a Lutheran pastor, Granger Westberg. Westberg is founder of Holistic Health Centers Incorporated, the spawning institution of 11 health centers across the nation. He is a visionary who, in his work as a parish pastor, hospital chaplain, and professor of religion and medicine, sensed a need for a practical integration of religion and medicine. This conviction gave birth to his model of church-based health centers. The centers, in affiliation with Holistic Health Centers Incorporated, employ a physician, nurse, pastoral counselor, sometimes a social worker, and in recent history, possibly a nutritionist in the team. Centers in low-income areas often include, in low-income areas, they would be more likely to include a social worker. Granger opened the first holistic health center more than 10 years ago in a Lutheran church in a low-income area of Springfield, Ohio. The next center opened in Hinsdale, Illinois, an affluent suburb of Chicago. This convinced Granger of the viability of his model for people of all income brackets. During the past 2 years, Westberg and his staff in the national office have been experimenting with placing the model in settings other than a local church, such as within a home for the elderly or even in a college campus health service. Westberg has secured major support from a colleague, the director of preventive medicine at the U of Illinois Med School. Major financial backing has come from the Kellogg Foundation, the cereal people, in Battle Creek, a large percentage of which has been designated for the opening of further centers throughout the country. All centers under Westberg's umbrella utilize the health team that I already referred to. The presence of a pastoral counselor on the team ensures that a person's relationship with God, or the absence of one, will be explored to the extent that it seems to have a bearing on that person's total health. Each new patient completes a questionnaire related to basic life stresses and resources for dealing with them. The form is used in the health planning conference with client and health team to help in assessing the person's total health, rather than focusing exclusively on the symptoms which have brought the client in for treatment. Although I did add last evening that if we got acute care cases, such as somebody with a finger dangling off their hand, we generally just provide the stitches and find out later whether this accident was an accident or not. So doctors estimate that up to 80% of the clients they see have used their presenting symptoms as an opportunity to share problems related to family, vocation, or spirituality. I think that's a really shocking percentage. In other words, a lot of people are coming to the doctor as a ticket to talk about what's really bothering them. And probably you all know that people do this a lot with pastors as well. Pastors and doctors are the two people that seem to be easiest, I guess, for people to gain access to. The health planning conference provides a place for the client to share all his or her concerns and to participate with the health team in seeking a resolution for them. Holistic Health Centers Incorporated is currently gathering statistics on both the cost effectiveness and the medical effectiveness of its model. Client testimony suggests that whole person care is meeting a strongly felt need within the community, but we don't have a great deal of hard data at this time. And I think that Holistic Health Centers Incorporated is hard at work at that, because obviously they continue to need more funding, and the more they can get hard data, the more money they can get for more centers. Holistic Health Centers Incorporated also acts as a clearinghouse for professionals and lay people wishing further information about whole person medicine. This is where I'll just stop a little for a commercial and tell you that if you're really interested, you could write to Granger Westburg and to the Holistic Health Centers Incorporated, and you could get a whole packet of information. You could find out where the centers are located across the U.S. and more about what it is and how it works and whether or not your church might be interested in any form of center or health ministry team. I can provide that address either individually or right now. I guess I'll just give it right now, and if you're taking notes, you can write it. If you didn't get it, you could see me later. Holistic Health Centers Incorporated, 137 South Garfield, Hinsdale, Illinois, 60521. Okay, let's see. So, Holistic Health Centers Incorporated headquarters provides regular seminars on how to start a center, as well as in the areas of stress management and illness. Church people are encouraged to participate in all seminars. Additionally, Holistic Health Centers Incorporated provides continuing education seminars and conferences for staff members of related centers. This provides a professional peer group for each practitioner and allows dialogue on such crucial issues as how our faith informs the quality of care we are providing. Holistic medicine is clearly a concept and practice whose time has come. Because of the widespread divergence in holistic health care and practice, it is important to explain that Christians identified with holistic health care tend to use the Westburg model and confine their care to traditional medical practice with a special emphasis on emotional and spiritual factors in the illness. We were talking about this somewhat last evening, but this is just to differentiate. It's not to make a judgment, but just to say that so far, church-related holistic health centers have been limited to the pastoral counselor, nurse, physician, possibly social worker and nutritionist, and don't generally include a lot of the variety of different, health supplemental methods that are really available and are widely used in, for example, a text like the one that I referred to earlier, like acupuncture or whatever else. People involved in holistic health practice, apart from holistic health care centers incorporated, tend to spell it with an H and are open to Eastern religious practice and paramedical approaches to healing. As Granger stated it in a recent newsletter, there is a great ferment on the West Coast around the general subject of holistic medicine. Recently, 3,000 people plus attended a two-day conference on holistic medicine. But I sense that they are not talking about the same things as we are. They show a great enthusiasm for what we might consider, quote, far-out kinds of health care. I salute them for their willingness to test new ways to get at the cause and cure of illness. However, a number of people are confused by the similarity of our names. I have tried hard to keep our project within the fold of traditional medicine and traditional or orthodox Christian faith. A primary commitment of Holistic Health Care Centers Incorporated is to return health care to the domain of the church. I think I'd like to break a second here, too, and refer back to a comment that came up last evening after the session. Someone remarked that what I was describing in this model really didn't seem very different from the practice of holistic medicine anywhere USA. And my comment was, well, the thing that's different about it is the role of the Christian church and the Christian fellowship in mediating the healing power. And so I think it's becoming clearer to me, even in this last couple of days of discussion, that that's probably the only real unique thing that church-related holistic health centers have going, the Christian fellowship and the Christian faith. In every other way, we would be really wanting people to do wellness, preventative care, we would be excited if someone found relief through acupuncture or even a chiropractor or all kinds of different alternative methods that perhaps we don't know much about, but you know, there's no reason not to trust or experiment with some of these forms. The brochure or the printout that I passed out that not everybody got gives a list, kind of a quick summary of general principles of holistic health care that you'd find either in our centers or in any center, USA, I think. I would just like to run those past you since probably several of you didn't get the printout. First, that a person is more than the sum total of the parts. It is important to consider body, mind, and spirit as inseparable entities. Second, high-level wellness and health is the basic thrust, not disease. And I don't know how much any of you have felt or would identify with this, but especially in counseling, I often feel there's a pathology model. In other words, the client is sick, and let's find out what the disease is, and let's look at this diseased organism, rather than here's a whole or, you know, person seeking wholeness with lots of potential for healing, and what are this person's resources for getting well, and, you know, just a wellness emphasis rather than the disease or pathology model. So that would be widespread in holistic health care. Thirdly, that people are clients, not patients. What's the difference? But the client in the new model assumes responsibility in negotiating for his or her care routine. Now, to me, this is exciting because we have an opportunity to show up at the doctor's office as informed consumers rather than, you know, pathetic, dependent, childlike people who ask the doctor, what should we do about this problem we have, as if the doctor, capital T, had a whole lot of, you know, answers, when in fact probably we have more resources within us, and if we trusted ourselves could tell the doctor a lot about how to get at what's bothering us. So what follows that is the concept of self-care and self-help. Five would be new attitudes toward birth, health, life, illness, and death. Other cultural views and value systems are adopted. Example here would be the terrific boom of midwifery and home birth that's really sweeping the country, and a lot of it is a direct reaction to the cold experience that many people have in the hospital with birthing. Not just leaving the husband out of the room, but just making the whole thing real clinical instead of a natural life experience. Six, stress and tension are the precursors of disease. Seven, practitioner of holistic health acts only as a catalyst for the client to maintain or strengthen his or her own body balance, homeostasis, or immunity, thus alleviating his or her own condition as necessary. I think a corrective to a statement like this might be that we are interdependent creatures, and we certainly are not all qualified medical professionals. We need the doctor's perspective, but we can work as a member of the team with the doctor, and this is the thing that is often does not happen, especially in a three-minute visit where the doctor just rushes in after the nurse has you, you know, in your little paper gown and just says, okay, let's see what the temperature is and what's wrong here, and okay, here's the prescription, see you later. You know, whereas if it were a whole person healthcare center, the emphasis would be on talking. The doctor would come in, and the doctor would certainly check your temperature and all that other stuff. But the doctor would say, what's brought you in? Can you tell me when you started feeling bad? Have you got any ideas about any other contributing factors? And so on and so forth. So it's an opportunity for dialogue and being a team, which I think is far more effective. Finally, the methods which the practitioner uses to foster this harmony and balance are based on the belief in a higher order of consciousness. This is how the folks who wrote this description are thinking. For myself, that higher order of consciousness would include Christian faith and awareness. Just a few more characteristics before we get into discussion. Journal of Religion and Health added the following prescription for healthy living. And I think some of us might enjoy these little hints. One is to take some time every day to reflect on our lives, its meaning, its direction, its dilemmas, and the resources we have available for living effectively. Two would be out of this quiet time, trying to develop a sense of oneself and the fact that there are large areas where we can be in control and we can therefore be responsible. And that's, I think, a counter to the feeling that some of us sometimes have that, you know, everything is very out of control in this world and in our lives, and, you know, there's just nothing we can do about it. It's a sense of trying to center and realize that there will be some things that we will have some sense of control and responsibility. Enlarging our knowledge of some aspect of the human enterprise or of the natural world. I found this very exciting this week at Holden. I myself have always thought of myself as a klutz in art and crafts. And so one goal I had to come here, in coming here, was that I should try stuff that I've always been scared to do, like try to make a piece of pottery or try to learn some needlepoint. And I'm finding that it's hard to be patient with the fact that I'm not very good at it, but it's really neat. It's expanding. You feel like, I feel like I can go home and say, gee, I could do a little pottery or I could do a little needlework. And so I think I really buy that third thing, that we all need to enlarge our world in whatever way we're underdeveloped. Also, cultivating an appreciation of beauty, which is certainly easy to do here. Studying empathy. Cultivate tenderly and thoughtfully our own most intimate and important relationships. And finally, keeping our minds and spirits open to new insights, new experiences, and new perspectives on old wisdom and knowledge. Okay, I think that is enough of an introduction, and from here I could either just go into a description of some of the models that are outlined in the article, or we could throw it open, and I'm kind of feeling inclined to throw it open first and just see what happens. Then if the going gets boring, I'll jump in with some of these canned models that I can tell you about. Yes. You mean which issue?
Yeah.
Well, Ted, I could at home, but I couldn't here. I'll have to give it to you on a postcard. Let's see. No, I just, in the paper, I just put it down as the Journal on Religion and Health. I haven't. That's a good journal, by the way. Yes?
Not being that familiar with the other faith, but with Christian Scientists, is some of their beliefs along this line? Has there been any parallel study from them?
I'm not well informed about Christian Science faith and practice. I know that one common thread would be the, the belief that at times you can put mind over matter. I think, though, that what holistic healthcare in this limited sense is saying is that we can't put mind over matter, but we can integrate mind and matter and spirit, which is a different thing. In other words, holistic health care would be very open to medical intervention, and Christian Science is not, if I have it right. So in that sense, probably wouldn't be a lot of overlap. But in the sense of, I imagine that many Christian Scientists do a lot of preventive care and wellness type stuff just because they don't utilize the medical profession. That's a guess. Does anyone here have any background that could respond a little bit more fully to that?
I would say that is not correct, what you just said. I would say that they basically live in a world of denial. Illness does not exist for a Christian scientist. And it's a figment of the mind, and the more you study Christian science, the more you illness doesn't exist. And the ultimate is that you realize that you really don't exist, but you are a spirit. And that your spirit is all powerful, and that you can conquer all things with your spirit. But basically, I see it as a belief in a belief based on real denial.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's useful. You probably have more background than I do. I imagine that if any of us really wants to know, we should get out some books on Christian Science, Faith, and Practice. Yeah.
You started to describe the dialogue that would take place between a client and a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
At what point does the pastor or the enter
mm-hmm.
this discussion?
Okay. Well, if a person is coming in and they don't have an acute care situation, they're just coming in because it is a whole person healthcare center and they would like to try this new form of health treatment, we ask them to have this health planning conference where we sit right down, doctor, nurse, pastoral counselor, possibly social worker and nutritionist and client, and we go through a questionnaire that the client has filled out about their life problems and their resources for getting better. So the pastoral counselor's on the scene from the beginning in a non-rushed, deliberate visit. Now, in a critical care situation, physician and nurse see the client, tend to the problem. Later, when the person is out of crisis, we'll say, our center has these health planning conferences. We think they're unique. Would you be interested? And you could meet the whole team, and then the person might elect, usually elects to do that. And perhaps coincidentally, that person will elect a short course of pastoral counseling, you know, something like that. Does that take care of it?
Yes.
I think he's
done. Two questions. Isn't the biggest percentage of your contacts as a result of some special need to come in for rather than just a general thing? And what are the most common things you confront to treat?
Okay, I would say yes, that whenever you open a clinic or a healthcare center, people are coming for immunizations and for physicals and for critical care kinds of things, and children's accidents, you know, stitches and all of that kind of stuff. I think what we see or saw at Columbia Road in D.C., where I worked, what we saw most often was people wanting physicals and kids' accidents. And then that was probably followed by women's health problems, gynecological stuff. Alcoholism, of course, was a biggie. This was inner city.
I had two questions.
Yes.
First, as I sit and listen, I'm new here today, and I'm finding myself wanting to know you as a person. Are you a nurse, a social worker,
mm-hmm.
or a pastor?
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even make that clear. Right now, I'm a practicing pastoral counselor working for Lutheran Social Services of Missoula, Montana. So right now, I'm not practicing in a holistic health care center. Very recently, living in D.C., a physician and I founded a clinic, one of these Granger Wilson clinics, and I was one of the pastoral counselors there. And I just have a real long-term interest in it, but right now I'm just doing counseling.
The other question is, have you worked with hospitals? I see the two as maybe fitting together, or
yeah.
One coming in on the table.
Yes, that's really a good point. The clinic in Washington, D.C., one of the two physicians has a special burden for hospice. They are going strong, going to have to relocate and expand, and in the expansion hope to do a formalized hospice program because of this physician's particular interest. Then, ironically, when I got to Missoula, I had a chance to get on the board of a new hospice organization in Missoula.
Yeah, I think that this idea
is a very common sense idea for most of us. Maybe many of us wouldn't have thought of it on our own, but after years of going to the doctor and having unsatisfactory encounters, when we are introduced to the idea, most of us say, oh yeah, sure, I'd rather go to a place that's going to emphasize dialogue and mutuality and me being an adult and foreign consumer. So I think that it's got this, I think it's all over the U.S. And I think wherever we find it, except for where some of the alternative methods become bizarre, I just think it's great. And I do think you're correct that the only thing that Granger's model offers up that's different is the role of the church. And I think even in Granger's model, that particular thing that's lifted up wouldn't always be fully expressed. In other words, it's possible that the Hinsdale Clinic, located in, I think it's Union Church in Hinsdale, I don't know if I have the name right or not, Illinois, I don't know really how much the Hinsdale Clinic staff that's housing them. I know that Columbia Road Health Services in D.C. is very much a mission of the Church of the Savior of Washington, D.C. And so the staff people minister out of a whole larger sense of fellowship. And to me, that's very unique. So.
You know, they come up with a thing about
Mm-hmm. Okay, so to all of the above, we have, let's see, I think holistic health care centers at this time are always going to need some grant money. That's why we needed the Kellogg seed money. Secondly, we have a sliding fee scale across the board. All 11 of them have a sliding fee scale according to ability to pay. Salaries try in the richer settings to be somewhat competitive with normal salaries of physicians, nurses, and counselors, but aren't. And in the setting of a really a total sort of mission project like Columbia Road Health Services, the salaries are, they don't even pretend to be competitive. It's token salary. It's not volunteerism, but it's a very low pay. Mm-hmm. Kind of like adult volunteer service, but with money coming in. We hope and try to believe that perhaps we can get so many clients that the client load will carry a lot of the expenses. But I just feel these projects are going to always need some extra gifts, and that they're worth it, and that that's kind of the way we have to run. And also, there is a lot of volunteerism, such as here at Holden. We do have a paid staff. We try to keep the paid staff small. We have lots and lots of college interns and medical school interns and people like this who need a year's experience and who can donate. I'm not sure quite what your question is. Are you talking about insurance coverage?
Licensing
to practice?
Clinic.
Yeah. We have the designation of clinic. There's no inpatient care. It's all outpatient. And as far as this is not exactly your question, we are in vigorous dialogue with Blue Cross Blue Shield about coverage for all the members of the team. In other words, if somebody comes for a course of counseling with the pastoral counselor, could they bill Blue Cross Blue Shield because the medical doctor on the team referred them? Probably, as you know, most pastoral counselors have a master's degree in theology.
But alcoholism is definitely
one of the things that's covered. Mm-hmm, that's right. But you see, anxiety or a crisis of faith is not. And that's what we're asking. We're asking if our MD perceives that a person needs a course of counseling over a life crisis, divorce, or whatever, can this be covered because we work as a team and because the physician is saying this person, part of this person's problem is the stressful life situation they're in. So some of our problems are covered by insurance just fine. We have Medicare and Medicaid, but others aren't, and that's what we're working on.
Yeah, I'm assuming that the doctors and the nurses and the staff.
Yes, Right, we don't have a, I don't know if this is a truth for this or not, but we don't have an open equal opportunity employment policy in the sense of faith. We do as far as sex and race, but. Most of the staff are ecumenical. Lots of these clinics are based in Lutheran churches and have at least one Lutheran member, but there are Catholics and Mennonites and just all kinds of, you know.
So Lutheran churches are
lots of them. No, a lot of them are in Lutheran churches. That is the classic Westward model. His idea is that church buildings are underutilized during the week. Sunday school rooms sit there empty. Huge amounts of space. Could the church donate these rooms during the week? And the answer is an overwhelming yes. Now ours is more of a storefront, the one in D.C. And that was a conscious choice because the type of clientele we were trying to attract, we did not think it would be good to be in a church basement or something. So we brought the church more into the marketplace. Yeah.
Someone told me that. There's a lot of contents in the first clinic deliberately wrong with the client's reading or the other things to get to the client. For the emotional effects of the client's reading or the client's reading, is that the client?
Well, I haven't heard that, but I would have no problem believing it. Interesting person, and not the most, not a proselytizer, but I just wouldn't put that past him, especially in his earlier days, that he would have done that. I know he really thought, Granger thinks the effect of being in a church is visually and viscerally important, and especially sometimes to people who are pretty turned off by churches. You know, to just come in and have a good experience. Here are caring people doing something positive and perhaps more positive than even preaching about salvation or meeting my needs. Yes.
What role does holistic medicine play for the person who's already been diagnosed with chronically ill or?
Support.
Just keep the faith testing?
No, I think a little bit broader than that. What we can offer a chronically ill person is real tender, loving management medically. And we can also offer counseling support, which sometimes is the most valuable if a person faces into terminal illness. They really need somebody empathetic and also somewhat objective to talk to. So it would just be support. Prayer, you know, I don't know. All the centers differ. Our center had a weekly worship. We incorporated prayer for healing once a week for any client that so desired. We felt really intensely about not proselytizing a sick person because I think when people are sick, they're really vulnerable. Even worse if they're trapped in a hospital bed and somebody comes over and really gives them a rap about, you know, belief and everything. It's just not fair. So we didn't try to be the hard sell type people. We tried to say, this is what gives us life and hope. And if you'd like to have us pray with you in the course of a Thursday mid-afternoon worship, feel free, you're welcome. Well, the Westward model itself has always opened with a practicing physician, an MD. We opened at Columbia Road with a part-time physician, and then the nurse happened to be a nurse practitioner, so she was, you know, able to manage a lot of routine kinds of issues, and then always have that physician backup. But yeah, we always have had a physician. Well, I couldn't speak at all for the other 10 centers. I know that in our center, I think that occurred really in a very private way, sometimes in a counseling session, between the counselor and the client at the client's request. And in the prayer services that we had, when we prayed with people for healing, it simply wasn't our custom to lay hands on people. We might join hands, but we just didn't. Perhaps because there were lots of different, we the staff came from different faith backgrounds and different churches, and probably not everyone would have been comfortable with, you know, direct laying on of hands. There's a lot of emphasis on touch, though. And there is, and probably you know this, in the secular, you know, model too, more and more in the nursing profession, nurses are finding, with or without belief, if they touch their patients, there's more healing. Yeah.
I'm not sure that means, but what's really, I guess, the academic definition of how they treat them? What is the academic definition of our clients? Why are you treating
Oh, well, I think it's a minor semantical kind of thing. I think, first of all, I don't even know the academic definition of patient, but the academic definition of client, as understood by holistic practitioners, is that the client is responsible. Client is the consumer. Patient is the dependent, you know, childlike person who comes in and says, tell me, doctor, what do I do like this? Client comes in and says, I've read this, I want three medical opinions on this, you know, let's negotiate my care, how much are your fees? I'd like to talk about that with you. I'd like to ask for a discount, you know. Yeah, right. That's a great point. Certainly they don't need counseling, right? Or they might need counseling about their hostility for a doctor. Such as race
for
Yeah, we sure do. It's a general practice. Family practice physicians are the people that holistic health centers incorporated like to attract to these centers. We have everything from soup to nuts. What we don't have is long-term alcohol treatment programs. We do a lot of referrals. We try to develop a network and just, you know, use what's available in the community. And so there are, usually in a lot of communities, there are battered women shelters or alcohol treatment plans or whatever, but we will take the person right in. Usually one of our volunteers will go with the person to the place of referral. And we'll always say to that person, when you're finished with your treatment, or as you have your treatment, if you ever just want to stop by and chat or whatever, this is, we're here for you, that type of a thing.
Charge us for that?
Which?
Stopping by and saying?
No. But they can't chat with the doctor. I mean, they can chat with the pastoral counselor if the pastoral counselor's on a break, or the social worker, or the nutritionist, especially the social worker, or some of the, like the business manager, receptionist, or whatever, but we have to protect the doctor's time a little bit more than that. Sounds a little hierarchical, contradictory to everything else we've talked about.
Has always boiled down to one group that was quite influential at the AMA.
Mm-hmm.
In which he was being addressed by the AMA,
one part of my question, the other part is this being infiltrated? I need that word into school, the public health, our people, ministers going to school, public health, and using it to build a building to try to attract local students from.
Well, not as much as we'd like, but Granger Westford does have a post at the University of Illinois Medical School in the preventative care and teaches courses on religion and health and the whole concept. We hear from people who volunteer and write letters, people in med school, that the ideas are filtering down. Granger's had the most trouble with the medical profession because there's a lot of resistance and a lot of feelings of threat. Seems to interesting to me and Wes, having visited the Vellore Christian Medical College and Hospital in South India, that there the medical profession and the pastoral profession just work in this incredible harmony and wouldn't dream of thinking that the pastoral counselor is not a legitimate member of the treatment team. It's just a different style. No, but here in the U.S., it's taking a lot longer. But our friend, Carl Rossi, who's the administrator of Deaconess Hospital in St. Louis, had the chief of staff of the hospital at Vellore speak to the somehow the AMA this spring, I think. Or hospital administrator, not the AMA, but anyway, Deaconess has a training school and all of this. So I think some of these ideas are going to filter down. I'm hopeful about it, but that's been really slow. Could you have your hand up?
Are you familiar with Dr. Steve?
No.
Okay.
Why don't you say?
I was wondering what you were doing for holistic. In Wisconsin, you set up a camp. Everybody go for a week or something, and get into the people and these type of things.
I'm sorry that I'm not. I'd like to hear more about it from you if you have time sometime.
Okay.
I can't see anyone in the balcony.
Do you have a couple of attraction positions for this thing?
To the position, the paid staff position? No. There are a lot of people who possibly, well, sometimes it's people who are in their middle years that have made their buck, so to speak, and now feel ready for more of an adult volunteer service post, who are very open. Then there are young people starting out who are very idealistic and feel like they just don't need to build a huge driving practice and this would be more gratifying. And we have not had trouble attracting physicians. Or even volunteer physicians.
I had an interesting experience I'd kind of like to share with this group, and that was really lost that they're not this kind of standards in most of our communities.
Correct.
That I hear you describing, and I would love to have. But we lost our regular physicians, family physicians. So I took the initiative and decided to stop for a family doctor. And made an appointment. When I was hurt for well, and it just knocked his daughter on the street, then I would come well and say, hey, I want to ask you some questions. And I told him I wanted to know that if any of our children came in with general symptoms, that he had time to listen to them, that I did not see that young people sometimes came to the camp and the church that they had. And that I needed to know that he listened, and he needed to know that I listened at times. And it just happened that about 3 months later, a child of ours was doing his general symptoms. And he did listen, and it turned out to be really good, but this is a good part of the diagnosis.
Oh, yeah.
With a doctor that we can take if we are not feeling and we approach it, not as a patient, but as a client.
Yeah, I really appreciate your sharing that. I wish we had time for me to ask you questions about where the Lutheran Church in general is with all this, but perhaps some of you can tell me informally.